This is Building Bridges, your community labor report with a special. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Ken, is the war on terrorism fast becoming a war on unionism?
Well, at the rate things are going, it won't be long before labor organizers are being thrown into prisons. Tom Ridge, director of the Office of Homeland Security, has been phoning Jim Spinoza, head of the West Coast Longshore Union, saying that a strike would be bad for the national interest. Spinoza has been talking not only to Ridge, but also to Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. On June 30th, the union's contract with employers, grouped in the Pacific Maritime Association, expired. If the 10,000-strong union goes on strike, ports along the entire West Coast could shut down.
A call to President Spinoza by the Secretary of Labor would not be surprising, but a call from the man in charge of coordinating the battle against terrorism on America's home turf confirms fears that, as in the past, national security is being used to justify strike-breaking, invocation of the Taft-Hartley Act, and declarations of national emergency to shut down labor activism and, if necessary, throw labor organizers in jail.
There are other sinister signs that Homeland Security is being used as a club to bash labor. The right wing is working fiercely to make the new Homeland Security Department non-union, again citing the paramount importance of national security.
The intervention by Tom Ridge comes in the midst of tense negotiations between the Pacific Maritime Association, representing ship owners and stevedores operating on the West Coast, and the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, the ILWU. The prime issue is technology. The employers are seeking changes in work rules which could lead to worker displacement.
Another big issue is the elimination of the hiring hole, which is presently controlled by the union. Longshore workers died in the 1934 general strike for the hiring hole. Union control of the hiring hole eliminated corruption and favoritism and maintains a social network among the workers. Employers don't want that.
The employers are also demanding that the workers begin paying for part of their health insurance coverage, a demand that would slice into rights won by the union in the 1960s.
Recently, the ILWU held a mass rally in Oakland, California. In addition to AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Richard Trumka, there were speakers from around the world sharing international solidarity.
Over the years, the ILWU has been noted for its progressive stance, including supporting the rights of political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal. Now they are appealing to workers around the world to roll up their sleeves and get involved in their struggle.
We now go to the rally where we hear from Jim Spinoza, president of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. It's a great turnout today. I can't tell you how proud we are when we get together and we show our solidarity and we express it in a meaningful way as we are doing here today. In ports across the country, longshore workers and teamsters are standing together to demand waterfront justice, to demand that the shipping and stevedore companies negotiate a fair contract with the ILWU that guarantees our health care benefits and our pension, and to demand that they recognize the efforts of port truckers to unionize with Teamsters. Here in Oakland, we also stand with the SEIU Local 790, port workers whose contract also expires and who are also facing cutbacks and outsourcing. And we have with us today representatives from dock workers unions around the world pledging their support for our struggle. This is a great show of worker solidarity. It is the kind of solidarity we need all the time. But even more when we face difficult contract negotiations. Because we know that they have in mind for us, we see it before at other times and other places. First, they try to separate the community from the union, planting stories in the media that say unions have special interests, interests separate and dip it from the community. Then they start to outsource our jobs to weaken our position. And then they try to pick us off one at a time. But it's not going to happen this time. This time the community is not going to fall for the boss's propaganda. And this time the unions are going to stick together. But this time there's a new twist. Ever since 9/11, the government and employers have been using the excuse of national security to attack workers and unions. But we exercise our rights to collectively bargain new contracts with better wages and conditions. But we enforce those rights by collectively withdrawing labor, then claim we are unpatriotic. But these are legal rights. There is nothing unpatriotic about American workers insisting their rights under the American law. Because of the effects of 9/11, the tax was a weakened economy. The government and the employers say that the economy is disrupted by labor disputes, by workers demanding our rights. They say we are aiding terrorists. But the real measure of prosperous economy is whether the workers have a good standard of living, whether we have health care, whether we live in communities with clean air and good schools and housing. We are not the terrorists, and we are not aiding the terrorist attacks. We demand a share of the wealth we produce every day. Waterfront workers are facing these terrorist accusations not just as we negotiate our contracts. There is legislation in Congress right now, the Maritime and Port Security Act, that threats every port worker like a terrorist suspect. Everyone will have to pass an FBI criminal background check to be able to keep their jobs. Many of the crimes listed in the legislation that could cause workers to lose their jobs have nothing to do with terrorism. And there's no reason to believe any port worker would blow up their job or their community. But the government and the ILWU employers, who are mostly foreign shipping companies and stevedore companies, are trying to say that the American workers, the same workers who produced the economic boom in the 1990s and kept international trade moving, should now be viewed as the enemy. At the same time, these foreign companies are fighting any legal requirements to examine the real security risk in our ports, the thousands of containers that arrive every day from overseas. The employers don't want to take the time to check those containers. They see that if they carry terrorists or terrorist bombs, because of delays, would cost them money. There is no clearer example of what this national security game is really all about. Destroy American unions so that big business can make more profits. We are here today to say we won't stand for that. We demand real national security, the security of our jobs and livelihoods, the security of our health care for everyone, the security of our community's environment. And there we will settle for nothing less. Let us go in solidarity. Let us tell the world and show the world that the doctors of America, the doctors and the laborers of America and the world stand together to show everyone that an injury to one is clearly an injury to all. Thank you.
You've been listening to a speech by President Jim Spinoza of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union on the negotiations over the West Coast Dockers contract, which highlighted the pressure being applied on the union by Tom Ridge, director of President Bush's Office of Homeland Security.
This has been a Building Bridges, a Community Labor Report special produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.